Speakers, the recordings have been started.
Thank you very much. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone. This is the GNSL Council call on the 21st of July. I will call your names, and could you please acknowledge your name so that we are sure you can be heard and that you can vote, because we've got three votes on this call. Thank you very much. James Bladel?
Here.
Jennifer Gore is no longer with us, but Donna Austin holds her proxy. Donna, are you here for yourself and for the proxy for Jen Gore?
I am. Thank you, Gwen.
Thank you, Donna. Volker Greimann. Volker Greimann is a temporary alternate for Volker Greimann. Welcome back, Volker. I know you're on the call. Yes, he's dialing back in. Donna Austin?
Yes.
Keith Grazer is absent and he sent his apologies. And Ruben Skuhl has his proxy. Ruben?
Here.
Thank you. Valerie Chan?
Hi, Glenn. Good morning. I'm here.
Thank you. Phil Corwin?
Present.
Susan Kawaguchi?
Here.
Rolf Ulrich Knoben?
I'm here.
Tony Harris?
I'm present.
Paul McGrady? Paul, I do not see him yet. Heather Forrest?
Here, Glenn. Thank you.
Amar El-Sadar?
I'm present.
Stephanie Perrin? I do not see Stephanie on the call yet. David Cake? David, are you on the call? Stefania Milne?
Here. Thank you, Glenn.
Edward Morris?
Here, Glenn.
Maria Martiel?
Here, Glenn. Thank you.
Thank you. Yulf Helsinges?
Here.
Carlos Gutierrez?
Here, Glenn. Thank you.
Thank you. Olivier Cotin-Leblanc, our ALAC liaison.
Present.
Thank you. Patrick Miles, our CCNSL observer. I believe Patrick is absent. Mason Cole, GNSO liaison to the GAC.
I'm here, Glenn.
Thank you. And for staff, we have David Olive. I don't think he's on the call yet. Marika Koenig, Rob Hogarth, not on the call. Mary Wong, Julie Headland, Steve Chan, Barry Cobb, David Tate, Emily Barbas, Glenda Sengeri, Natalie Peregrine, and Terry Agnew. Thank you very much, James. And just before I say over to you, may I remind people to say their names before speaking for the transcription purposes. Thank you very much, James.
Thank you, Glenn. Thank you, everyone, and welcome to our GNSO Council call for the 21st of July. I hope everyone is having a lovely summer. And for those of you in North America, I hope you found a nice, cool, shady place to have today's call. Before we get started, just a couple of other points here as part of our administrative matters. First off, we should note that we have a new member of staff. It is Emily Barabas. Am I saying that correctly, Emily? I don't know if Emily's on audio.
Yes, you're saying that correctly. Sorry,
okay.
There's my audio.
Welcome, Emily, to your first GNSO Council call. And also wanted to note just looking at the news recently, I note that we have a number of folks from ICANN staff that are in the area around Nice. I certainly hope that your situation is getting back to normal. And I note that we have a number of folks associated with the ICANN office in Istanbul, where there's been some instability as well. I hope that everyone is doing well there. So just best wishes from all of us. Okay, next up is any updates to the statements of interest or any announcements as to your status? If so, please raise your hand in the Adobe room or get my attention on the call. Volker.
Yes, thanks, James. Just to indicate, as Glenn has already said, that I'm currently have been asked to continue my role by the RSG until a replacement has been elected. So I'm basically my only replacement.
Thank you, Volker. And, I would ask that folks please mute as well. Thank you, Volker, for that update. And just as a note to the remainder of the council, we within the Registrar Stakeholder Group are currently beginning our process to fill the vacancies that we have experienced since our last meeting in Helsinki. But glad to have you, Volker, as your own alternate in this case. If there are no other statements of interest changes, then I would then direct everyone's attention to the agenda that was circulated to the mailing list and appears in the Adobe Connect room. If anyone has any questions, concerns, comments, or amendments to the agenda, could you please raise your hand in the Adobe room or get my attention on the call? Otherwise, we'll consider this agenda adopted and move on. Okay, thanks. We'll move forward with this agenda and adjust if necessary. Okay. And then finally, just noting the status of minutes for the previous council meetings. The meeting minutes for our session in Helsinki have been posted to the council list, and I apologize that I also neglected to approve or make this announcement relative to the meeting minutes from the May 12th meeting, which has also been posted. And I do apologize to the council for that oversight, and thanks, Heather, for catching me on that. Sorry, if you could make sure that you're on mute, please, when you're... Thanks. And Heather, I saw your hand go up and then go down. Did you have a question about the agenda or the minutes or...
Thanks, Shane. This is Heather. Indeed, I have an item to add to AOB. It'll be very quick, if possible. It relates to the RPM PDP working group.
Sure. Okay, perfect. Thanks, Heather. Glenn, could you capture that in the notes here, and we'll try to get that on item 9.1, since I've already made a brief announcement.
I'll do that. Thank you, James.
Thanks, and we could just remind folks to please mute their line. If we could add that to 9.1, since we've already updated the council on the status of the registrars. Okay, Marika.
Yeah, this is Marika. Just to note that Susan had also requested an AOB item concerning an update on privacy and proxy recommendations and the status of the board considerations.
Thank you, Marika, and thank you, Susan. We can certainly add that as agenda item 9.3. I would note, Susan, just as well, that that topic is likely to come up under the discussion surrounding the GAC communique, which is item 6, which might give us a chance to address that a little bit sooner. And so if you see a good opportunity to raise your questions then, please, by all means, feel free to take it. But otherwise, we'll have a placeholder there in AOB. Okay, any other rocks to throw at the agenda, or should we move on? I see Paul has joined us as well, so welcome, Paul. Okay, next up is the review of the project and action items list. Marika, I don't know if you or your team have that handy and can load that into Adobe, and we'll walk through that in a relatively expeditious manner. Uh, Okay, thank you. And while I zoom this in for my rapidly failing eyes, thank you. So I don't know if you have anything in particular that has changed from Helsinki that you would like to draw our attention to, but the project list is here in Adobe Connect. I think just scanning down the things that have moved, changed their status into board vote, everything seems to be kind of, for the most part, stuck in the same status that it was in Helsinki. I'm looking specifically at the three items in status 6. Marika, if you have any other items that you'd like to draw our attention to, please go ahead.
Yeah, this is Marika. Maybe just to note that we did close out the PDP improvements project, and we've added in the drafting team on the GMSO rights and obligations under the revised ICANN bylaw. So the overall numbers may look the same on the top table, but there have been some changes with regards to projects being closed and new ones being created.
Okay, thanks, Marika. Any other items relative to the action list that folks would like to tee up for discussion? Wow, it's a quiet group today. I guess the caffeine is still yet to kick in. So, okay, and then if we scroll down, I believe the action list, oh, I'm sorry, that was still part of the project list. Never mind, this was just the second page there. Here we go. These are the action items. Looking for immediately jumping out at me is the ICANN 57 meeting planning, which is comes up later on our agenda, I believe, in agenda item number 8 for discussion. We also have identified the customer standing committee. So we have an update, I believe, from Wolf Ulrich on that, and including a motion. That is agenda item number 4. We would also note the I wanted to make one other announcement relative to the transition costs. There will be, I believe, Marika and Mary, you can set me straight here, but I believe there will be a call coming in the next couple of weeks for counselors to go over the proposed project cost support team and the cost control mechanisms for transition-related costs. Is that correct? Yes. Okay. I note that is correct. We're still working to confirm the date. So just a heads up for that, folks, because we will have a webinar at some point, and that will give everyone an opportunity to take a look at those mechanisms and raise any questions with ICANN staff and the Board Finance Committee. Thanks. And then finally, we have some notes here for the GMSO review, the implementation team for the recommendations. That's also a motion from Wolf Ulrich. Wolf Ulrich's been very busy in the interim since Helsinki. And then we also take a look at the revised timeline for selecting a new liaison from the GMSO to the GAC, and that will come up as well. Any other questions, thoughts, or does anyone notice anything missing from this list? I think this is really essentially our marching orders between now and our next call in September. Phil.
Yes, in regard to item 2, the outstanding IGO, NGO, PDP recommendations, my working group that I co-chair on the curative rights processes for IGOs met this morning. Mary Wong informed us that the board had a call with the GAC within the last week, and there is a recording of it, and that this topic of the recommendations came up during the call, and that Chris Despain indicated that the board would be making public its views on this subject soon and at long last. So I just wanted to report that.
Thanks, Phil. good contribution there. And I think you're correct that meeting or that call did occur in the past few days. There is a recording. As far as I'm aware, there's not a transcript yet, but I believe that is forthcoming. I tried to listen to it prior to this meeting. I only got about maybe three quarters of the way through the call where they discussed mostly the Helsinki communique, but including this topic as well as some of the other topics that we address in our response. But that will be good to get some indication from the board on their position on IGO, INGO recommendations. Any other comments on the action list? Okay, the queue is clear, so we can then move to the consent agenda, which is agenda item number 3. There is nothing on our consent agenda, so we can move then to our first bit of substantial business, which is the approval of the primary and secondary liaison candidates for the Customer Standing Committee. A motion has been made and amended by Wolf Ulrich. Wolf Ulrich, if you don't mind, I could certainly turn it over to you to introduce the motion, and then we can open it up to the council for discussion.
Yes, thank you. It's Wolf Ulrich speaking. Thanks, James. I can do it briefly and then refer just to the result of the motion. Just to introduce a little bit, so you may remember that we had a discussion on that process in Helsinki. The GNSO should provide one liaison to the Customer Standing Committee. Besides the so-called members of the Customer Standing Committees, which are provided from the registry stakeholder group and others as well. So the liaison would not have the status of a member, just a participant or a liaison rather than that. The goal of that discussion and the introduction of the process was, well, to raise attention to that application period and in order to get a variety of applications for that post. So surprisingly, since Helsinki, there was just one application filed to that position from the GNSO. As we had prepared a process where in order if there would be more than one, that we have a kind of ranking with that, so that was obsolete from that situation. So we just had to decide or to think about over is this candidate, does he meet the criteria set, and if there is any no or objection from the selection committee, then that should be raised or not. So that was just a question between yes or no to that candidate. And in the end, so we had a kind of evaluation tool, which is also connected, annexed to the motion or to the mail which was sent by Julie. So we had this evaluation, and from that it came out that this candidate was fully accepted by the selection committee. So make it briefly. So we, as a selection committee, we suggest well to nominate James Gannon to the liaison of the CSC, and that is what is the motion about. We can talk about after that the ongoing process with regards to the coordination with the CCNSO and the full slate of applications which the GNSO has to coordinate as well. But at first, I would say just introduce this motion, the resolved, and then talk about that. So I read the resolved. First, the GNSO Council has reviewed the application and the candidate provided by the selection committee and approves James Gannon as a liaison. Second, the GNSO Council requests that the GNSO Secretariat shall provide to ICANN the liaison name along with its expression of interest by the deadline of 22nd of July 2016. Third, the GNSO Council requests that the selection committee shall engage, if requested, with the CCNSO selection committee to evaluate the full slate of CSC members and liaisons. And fourth, the GNSO Council will consider the full slate of CSC members and liaisons either at a GNSO Council meeting or a vote outside of a meeting on 9th August 2016. Thank you.
Thank you, Wolf Ulrich, and thanks to you and the other members of the selection committee for getting this done, completed so quickly. It is unfortunate that we received only one response. However, we are very fortunate in that that response was from Mr. Gannon, who I think everyone acknowledges, and I think the selection committee determined was more than capable of fulfilling this role. Very good. Thank you very much. Any discussions on this motion? We'll take a cue. Heather?
Thanks very much, James. This is, pardon me, this is Heather Forrest. Not so much a discussion on the motion, but I did want to raise a point that we had raised within the selection committee. Indeed, echoing the comments Duke just made, that it was unfortunate that we had only received the one application, having gone through a fairly robust preparations process, anticipating more. And I'd like to have some formal record of an interest in thinking about how we generate more interest for the position when we next have to go through this selection process. Thank you very much.
Well, that's an excellent point, Heather. And the term of this role is, this liaison is 1 year, is that correct?
It's 2 years.
It's 2 years, okay. Thank you, Wolf Ulrich. But I think Heather's point, nonetheless, is a valid one. We need to be thinking about how we are going to generate a more enthusiastic, or let's say a broader response next time. So that's a good point, Heather, and we should probably start thinking about that. Susan, you're up next.
So I also have a question. And, you know, we did discuss, I'm on the committee also, but this came up in our BC call this morning. And since we don't have two candidates, minimum of two candidates, so we were supposed to pick a second candidate and then allow the overall CSC committee pick which one of our candidates fit the diversity. But it was understood or misunderstood, I'm not sure because maybe I misunderstood it, that alternate would also fill in for our committee member, the GNSO committee member. So if they could not make a meeting and sort of give their vote in the same way we do, I don't even know if they're voting, to tell you the truth. I do get confused on this issue. So is there any structure or rules for this committee in which if we had someone unable to make a meeting, that we still are represented in that meeting?
Thanks, Susan. I think the first part of your question is all these liaison positions are optional. So I'm assuming that meant that we could only fill one of the two if necessary. We could have conceivably filled zero of the two. I don't see why we would have done that, but I think it was an option. I guess I would probably, if you don't mind me jumping out of the queue here, I'd jump to Julie, and she can answer your question there, as well as the question about whether or not this leaves us vulnerable to any missed meetings. Julie, would you mind?
Not at all. Thank you very much, James. And Donna may be also speaking to this as well. But the assumption was if we had more than one candidate, then the GNSO would present a primary and secondary. And that is that the GNSO would express its preference for the primary person becoming the liaison, and the secondary would only be submitted in case there were diversity issues and, you know, and for some reason the CCNSO, GNSO, when they met, decided that the secondary person better met diversity issues. So there's no alternate role in the customer standing committee. Not
can we
something
yeah, no you're still on Julie can we okay there we go thanks.
So there is no alternate role, so we are not missing out on a role by submitting one liaison. And as you did note, James, yes indeed, this is an optional, you know, it is optional for a group to submit a liaison. I would not be surprised if the GNSO was not the only group that is submitting just one candidate for a late liaison. That may also be happening elsewhere.
Thank you, Julie. Susan, did that address your questions? I thought perhaps you had another one about who actually selected the slate, but I'll let you weigh in.
Yeah, it wasn't really about the slate. It was more of, you know, if we're going to the time and trouble to select someone, even though we had the opportunity to either select someone to represent the GNSO or not, but since we're doing that, if they were unable to make the meeting, is there a possibility of just putting somebody else in that role temporarily, sort of handing over that proxy, and so that the GNSO is always represented in these monthly meetings, or however often they happen.
Thank you, Susan. That's a good question. I don't know. Perhaps Wolf Ulrich or Donna and their interventions could cover that, or staff. Otherwise, we may have to take that one offline. I hadn't considered that before, but it may be something that's already provided for in this role. But we could go to Wolf Ulrich first. I don't know, Wolf, if you can shed any light on that question, or you had an intervention on a different topic.
Yeah, thanks, James. It's Wolf always speaking. Well, some points. The first to the last comment, I understand, you know, there is no alternate, and there is no chance, well, to bring a second in. But, you know, all the members and the agents, they are obliged, well, at least from the charter, to participate in, I think, at least in 9 from 12 meetings. So they are obliged to participate. If they can't meet that goal, then the committee, CSC, shall be, it could be possible that the committee sends a note to the GNSO, please take care that your delegate is participating in the meeting. So in this way, that's what I understood from the charter. That's one point. Another point is because of, let me come back to the low attention or the low number of applications we just had here. There is foreseen a review of the charter after 1 year, after the first year. The charter of the CSC should be reviewed by the group itself, I think. And I think from that point of view, we should give to James, well, as a task to that to the CSC, that they should take into that they should take care about and think about modalities of the applicants and the conditions set. You know, I got the impression I had talks to people from my community who were interested. So one had a problem with the time required, well, to participate in, and the other one was the question or the perception that this job is a little bit, let me say, characterized relatively technical. So and so it requires technical knowledge on specific items with regards to IANA, and that is what some people may have had problems to apply for. So I think this group should rethink and review after 1 year also the conditions of for the applications. Thanks.
Thank you, Wolf Ulrich. And I think that you raise an excellent point about the nature of the role and the ideal qualifications and background and criteria that would be used to select future liaisons. I might ask that, presuming that Mr. Gannon is in fact confirmed in this role today, that we could task him with also helping the council to define that modality that you identified, because I think he would have, because this is the first time the CSC is being created and this is the first instance of the GNSO liaison to that group, that perhaps he can assist us in defining it a little bit better. So thank you. Next up is Donna.
Thanks, James. Donna Austin. I don't have a lot to add, but I think Wolf Ulrich raises a really important point, that the charter will be reviewed by the committee of the CSC after 12 months, but they do have to take input from other stakeholders as well. And then in addition to that, the effectiveness of the CSC itself will be reviewed after 2 years. And that's the method of review will be determined by the CCNSO and GNSO. So in terms of the charter for the CSC, there is currently additional responsibilities that will fall on the GNSO further down the track. So we've undertaken a process to ensure that we understand where the bylaws affect the GNSO operating procedures. We probably, and we don't have to do this immediately, and perhaps it's something that James can help us with down the track, but there are other responsibilities for the GNSO further down the track as regards to CSC as well. So we probably should keep that in the back of our minds. And I understand there's some teething problems with the inaugural CSC. We did have to put this together in really short order. It was a requirement from NTIA, so you know, I really thank everybody for pulling the selection committee together and the process. I understand that we've only had one applicant, so people might think it's overkill in terms of the manner in which we went about this, but I think it sets a good precedent for any future selection that the GNSO Council has to do. And I know we ran into problems with, some other committees or representatives who are trying to put together for the CCT. So I think this is a good exercise. I understand it seems like overkill because we only had one person interested, but I actually think it's a good process that we can build on in the future. So I don't think everything's lost. And I really appreciate the effort that people have put into this to make sure that we hit the time frame that we've been given. Thanks, James.
Thank you, Donna. Good points all around. And it is something that we'll have to think about going forward as the GNSO role in the new ICANN, not just under the bylaws, but just generally is under review. Marilia is next.
Thank you, James. Actually, I have a doubt with regards to paragraph 6 of the motion when it says that the GNSO may appoint a liaison to the CSC in addition to two GTLD registry operators. My doubt is, are the registry operators going to be nominated in another moment? Is there a selection process ongoing as well? And what will be the different roles between the registry operators when it comes to their participation on behalf of the GNSO and the role of the liaison? Just to really understand. Thank you.
Thank you, Marilia. So my understanding, and we can certainly direct this question to Julie or to Donna, but my understanding is that those registry representatives, GTLD registry representatives, will be selected separately through a parallel process. The entire slate of members and liaisons to the CSC will be approved by the GNSO Council, And then that those roles will be slightly different in that the registries will be members, but this particular role for Mr. Gannon has expressed an interest in will be a liaison, a non-voting liaison. But Donna may have some corrections to that statement. Donna?
Thanks, James. Donna Austin. So you're not incorrect in what you said, but I think the confusion for Marilia might be associated with the linkage between the GNSO appointing the CSC liaison and then, in addition, the two GTLD registry operators. I think the connection here is that the registry stakeholder group is actually a part of the GNSO, so there's a linkage there, but the processes for selection are quite separate, and the registry stakeholder group has actually undertaken a separate process and selected two candidates. So I think it's been linked back here because the registry stakeholder sits under the GNSO, but this is talking about the supporting organisation of the GNSO. So it might just be that some confusion in the wording. Thanks.
Thanks, Donna. And that is done by design because the registries, both the GTLD and the CCTLD registries, have been identified as direct customers of the IANA function. So I note in the chat that Marilia says that her question was addressed. So thank you for that response, Donna. Okay, the speaking queue is clear. Does anyone else have any questions or comments relative to agenda item number 4? Okay, if there are no objections, then I'd like to move this motion to a vote. It's been made by Wolf Ulrich. It's been seconded by myself. If there are no objections, we'd like to move this to a voice vote to save time. Glenn, if you don't mind, would you conduct a voice vote on this motion?
I will indeed. Thank you, James. All those who are not in favor of the motion, would you please state your name? Hearing no one, may I ask all those who would like to abstain from the motion, please state your name? Hearing no one, may I ask all those who are in favor of the motion to say aye?
Aye.
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 Thank you.
Thank you. And those who are holding proxies, are you voting in favor of the motion as well?
Aye.
Thank you. And may I just note that we have not got David Cake on the call. He is neither in the Adobe Connect room nor on the telephone, and I have had no regrets from him, so we will mark him as absent. Thank you very much, James. The motion passes.
Thank you, Glenn. Thank you, councillors, for your attention to that agenda item, and thank you to the selection team once again for getting this task completed fairly quickly. Just as a little bit of follow-up business on this, if we can ask staff to communicate the results of this to Mr. Gannon, as well as the selection committee. I believe there is still some work ahead. However, this liaison needs to be reported to the entire slate of liaisons and members of the CSC, and then that will be sent back to the SO, the GNSO, and the CCNSO for our approval. This is the item that we talked about in Helsinki that is under extreme time pressure to be done, in fact, in advance of our next formal scheduled call. We have a scheduled teleconference on August 9th. To vote to approve that final slate of members and liaisons. I would like to, if there are no objections from any other councillors, I'd like to propose that we instead cancel that call and move towards an email ballot where we would have an offline email vote on a motion to approve the entire slate of members and liaisons to the CSC. I don't know if anyone has any objections to that. Hopefully that is amenable to everyone's schedule, that we would cancel the August 9th telephone call and instead transition that to an email ballot. And not surprisingly, I see in the chat that that is a preferred option. Julie, go ahead. You're up next.
Hi. Yes, this is Julie Hedlund. I do have, if Marika is able to bring it up, I have just very quickly a slide that I can just show this timeline that you've spoken to, just so people have it in front of them. And thank you. The question that I was going to ask is whether or not you wanted to move to holding this as a vote outside of a meeting, as opposed to holding a meeting. And so thank you for clarifying that, James. We'll proceed accordingly. And just as you see here, very quickly, expected next steps, the selection committee has evaluated the candidate, sent that to the council. The council has approved. And now there we will go to the GNSO, CCNSO of members and liaisons, and then that will be approved through the vote that will conclude on the 9th. So just quickly moving to the next slide, ICANN will submit to the CCNSO and GNSO councils, actually it'll go to the council, so we'll look for this on the 23rd of July, the full slate of members and liaisons. The GNSO CSC Selection Committee is actually meeting on Sunday the 24th, just among themselves to review this slate prior to their consultation calls that will be held with the CCNSO. I'll note that if we had, there is still the need for a motion, for the GNSO to vote on, and that motion deadline is the 30th of July. The CSC will be submitting that. And then there is a scheduled call between the two selection committees, CCNSO and GNSO, on the 2nd of August, a backup call on the 4th if needed, probably not needed. And then immediately thereafter, the full slate from the GNSO CSC selection committee will go to the council. And then the vote, according to the GNSO procedures, has to be held open for 4 days. In order for it to end on the 9th of August, then it would have to proceed beginning no later than the 6th. And then with that approval on the 9th of August, we would be prepared to notify ICANN by the 10th of August. It says the 11th there, but I think really we're looking for the 10th. Thank you.
Thank you, Julie. Important notes here on the timeline, and I think you've very succinctly laid out the path ahead. I have a question, and this is more of a, I don't know if we call it a procedural or parliamentary question, that if we need to open an email ballot on the 6th of August, because our rules require it to be open for 4 days, does that mean that the cutoff for the motion is moved back from July 30th to July, I don't know, what would that be, July 26th? I don't know if we could ask staff to take a look at that and make an announcement on the list exactly when that motion is due. And then if we could also ask the CSC selection committee, including Wolf Ulrich, to be mindful of that deadline and make sure that the motion with the full slate of CSC members and liaisons is ready by that time. Julie, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Julie Hedlund. I've drafted a draft motion for the CSC to consider that we can discuss at our meeting on the 24th of July. So we certainly could, I think, have that motion available sooner. I think you're right. While the procedures do not address this, it would seem to me that the motion should be made available. The deadline should count back from sort of the start of the vote. But I also see that Wolf Ulrich has his hand raised, so I'll defer. So.
Thanks, Julie. Wolf Ulrich?
Yes, thanks, James, overly speaking. Julie, one question. So as we can see from the timeline, this is a coordination process between the CCNSO and the GNSO. However, the GNSO has to also to agree to the full slate, which comprises also from other stakeholder groups, ALAC, GAC, RFAC, ESSEC, liaisons as well. My question is, well, do we have any indication about their timelines? Is that does their timelines fit to what we are doing here with regards to the 24th of June, July, for example, and other times?
Thanks, James, if I may address that?
Yes, please.
This is Julie Hedlund. Thank you, Will Forward. The requirement is that all the SOs and ACs have to have their members and liaison choices into ICANN by the 22nd of July. So that deadline for the GNSO to make its submission tomorrow also applies to all of the others as well. I know of at least one that has already submitted their liaison selection. The ESSEC has already done so. I don't know of others, but they are all operating under the same deadline. So the intention is that by the 22nd of July, ICANN would have all of the liaisons and members from the various groups, and then thus would be able to submit them to the CCNSO and GNSO councils by the 23rd.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, thank you, Wolf Ulrich. Thank you, Julie. I think the takeaway here is that there's still a very critical timeline with very little margin for error between us and the completion of this project. Sounds like we all understand what's ahead of us. My only ask then to the CSC selection committee is to please present that motion to the council list as soon as it is finalized rather than waiting for the deadline so that we can be sure not to miss our window for an email ballot. And it sounds like we're already underway, and perhaps it's just a matter of plugging in the names similar to the way that the this motion was originally presented. So if there are no other Julie, go ahead.
Oh, I'll just note that the way I currently worded the motion, this Julie Hedlund, we just say, you know, approval of the full slate of names without having to plug in the names, but we certainly could do that as an amendment. I'll work with the CSC, the GNSO CSC Selection Committee on the final language, but thanks for that point.
Okay, thank you. And I think, you know, Mary has put some of the relevant operating procedures into the chat, but, you know, which is probably open to interpretation as well. But just for avoidance of all doubt, let's just see if we can get that motion as quickly as possible, even if it's a matter of amending it to finalize the names if we're waiting on one of the other SOs or ACs. Okay. Thank you again for the work on this, and thank you for the work that lies ahead. And counselors, please be on your toes for a motion and an email ballot, which will be conducted between now and our next formal call in September. So moving on then to agenda item number 5, we are, a little bit significantly perhaps behind schedule, so let's move on then to item number 5. We have another motion, which is for the approval of the implementation mechanism for the recommendations of the 2014 GNSO review. This motion, I believe, was made by Wolf Ulrich. It has yet to be seconded, and probably one of the reasons for that is that there are actually two motions here. Wolf Ulrich has, in fact, given us two options. And both of those involve how we not only create this new defined, named, and acronymized organization to implement the GNSO review recommendations, but also what we do in the interim timeframe with the Standing Committee for Improvements and how that is managed in relation to this new group. So I put a note to the list that, and I think these are addressed in Resolve 2. I put a note to the list, but I think before we dive into discussion, perhaps Wolf Ulrich, if you don't mind, you could introduce the motion and read out the resolve clauses.
Yeah, thanks, James, for really speaking. This is a follow-up from the discussion we had in Helsinki on how to perform the implementation work of the GNSO review working group or working party's recommendations, which were adopted by the board. And, the fact that there are kind of two motions here is, well, it's a tribute to the timing. You know, we have been under time pressure, and Marika was so kind to come up and push me and say, well, to be in time, so we have to bring a motion to the table 10 days before the meeting. And then the discussion started on how the motion should look like, and in the end it came up it should be one motion, but it should be one of these both options which are here at the table. Well, the difference between the option lies in the question how to handle the SCI. So we were discussing in Helsinki about, and we were convinced that that's what I took from the discussion, that there is knowledge within the SCI which should be used, and which should be used in a way that as well as SCI members could participate, but also others, and on the other hand, that we should not have too many people, you know, where the workload is split on. So, coming from this question, then there was one idea: well, just load it over this work to the SCI. That was one point, but on the other hand, there was not the real one, because the SCI was not so much involved, and this work should be open also for others. So the idea was then, well, to do it vice versa, ask for a working group here to participate in, and where also SCI members could participate, and then dissolve the SCI after the SCI has done its current task. Why then option two? Option two came up because of the specific character the SCI has at the time being. The SCI is it's called a standing committee. This is a difference to a working group. That means it is an ongoing group, and is not put together on a project by project basis like working tool groups or working teams are done. This is one different, and the SCI has also a charter which points out how the consensus finding process is going to be done, and the SCI is working under unanimous consensus, which is also different to working groups who have more flexibility on finding consensus. So these are the open questions which could not be discussed before I put the motion here to the table, and that is why I put it in this form with these two options. So we should be aware of that, and we should then discuss, well, which kind of option we are thinking about would be the better one, or the one which is suitable to that process here. So having that, this I'm just going to read the resolved. Resolved is first, the GNSO Council adopts the charter for the GNSO Review Working Group. Second, the GNSO Council directs the Standing Committee on Improvements Implementation, the SCI, to complete the two tasks assigned to it by the GNSO Council and submit the proposed revisions for approval at the GNSO Council meeting by 1st of September 2016. And now the option one is, upon completion of this task. Any new requests will revert to the GNSO review working group for consideration. Following the completion of these two tasks, the SCI will be disbanded as its work will have been superseded by the GNSO review working group. That's one option. Option two, during the course of the implementation of the GNSO review, the SCI will remain dormant until such time the Council identifies a request that needs to be dealt with. Following the completion of the GNSO review implementation, the SCI will cease to exist and its responsibilities will be taken over by the GNSO review working group as outlined in its charter. Result 3, the GNSO Council requests ICANN staff to issue a call for volunteers, both to solicit stakeholder group and constituency-appointed members and alternates, as well as participants from the GNSO and broader community. And fourth, the GNSO Council directs the GNSO Review Working Group to submit the proposed implementation plan to the GNSO Council for approval at the latest by the ICANN 57. So to sum up, the difference you could see is, but the goal is the same, let me say, with regards to the SCI. The SCI should be disbanded. The question is when. That is the difference in the options. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Wolf Ulrich. And I see Heather has her hand up. We can begin the discussion. I'd like to put myself in the queue, so I'll wait for a couple minutes. Rubens is next, but we'll start with Heather.
Thanks, James, very much. This is Heather Forrest. I wanted to raise, let's say, a question or a concern. I'm not sure which category to put it in. But I suppose we need to decide fundamentally, as I understand the two options, we need to decide fundamentally if we want one group or two working on, if you like, improvements-related things. One of the options before us essentially would have a GNSO review implementation team, so to speak, working alongside the SCI, which would continue in the work that it does. And the other option would be that the SCI would fall away, and we'd then reconstitute a new group, if you like, that would focus on improvements that arise out of the GNSO review recommendations as those were adopted by the board. I suppose if we're not interested in that latter option, in having only the one group, then I think we've unnecessarily complicated things by referencing the SCI here. On the other hand, this is an opportunity, let's say, to streamline the improvements work that happens within the GNSO, and I'm personally inclined towards a more streamlined view and not having multiple groups doing related things. But I do raise the point that, you know, if that's not the interest more generally than of others, then we've unnecessarily complicated things by even referencing the SCI here. Thanks very much, James.
Thanks, Heather. Great points. We'll move on then to Rubens. Go ahead, Rubens.
Rubens, thank you for the transcript. My question is, what is the current status of the SCI workload, notably the revision of election rules, which is something that we might need possibly before all the other improvements? This is more a question for staff than from Wolf-Ulrich. Thank you.
Thanks, Ruben, and I'll let Julie answer. But I believe that there are just that issue and one other issue are yet to be completed, and we would be talking about standing down the SCI once those two items are completed. So that is still remaining on their plate. Julie, is that correct?
Yes, the proposed revisions are actually out for public comment at this time, and that will conclude on the 14th of August, at which point the SCI will address any comments that have been raised, probably unlikely to be, and submit the motion for the GNSO then to approve at its meeting on the 1st of September.
Thank you, Julie. And then presuming, Rubens, just to follow up, presuming that we were to select option one, or really either of the options, then the SCI would either go, you know, would either dissolve or go into this period of dormancy once those improvements and recommendations were completed. Okay, next up is Phil.
Yeah, two clarifying questions. Do we envision that any of the members of SCI will become members of the new GNSO review working group, or will they be populated by completely different individuals?
Thanks, Phil. I think we're anticipating the possibility of some degree of overlap in membership.
Okay. So there's a possibility that could have two groups coexisting with some of the members the same, being the same individuals on both groups. And second, do we envision any possibility that the SCI will have anything further to do following the completion of the two identified tasks? If it, there is a possibility, then option two would be more prudent. If there's no possibility, then option one, the more streamlined option, would make more sense.
So, Phil, just to respond quickly, I think that that their queue or their work queue would be clear once those two items were completed, but there would be nothing necessarily to guarantee that new items wouldn't come up during the course of this implementation work. So I think the option one presumes that if anything were to arise in the future while this was ongoing, that it would be referred to this working group in lieu of referring it to the SCI.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Phil. Great questions. Next up is Amr.
Thanks, James. This is Amr. Yeah, just wanted to, on one hand, echo some of the thoughts that have already been expressed, such as having two groups may be a little confusing. I've personally been involved with both the SCI and the GNSO review working party, and I would personally probably opt for option one, and not have too many groups working in parallel, making reviews and changes to the GNSO's operating procedures. Let's not forget that there will also be a third group working on incorporating some of the new community powers into the GNSO operating procedures. So we could potentially end up with three groups working in parallel, performing these reviews. So I would personally advise moving forward with option one, being cognizant, of course, of the fact that if any new issues do come up that may require reviews outside of the GNSO's reviews recommendations, then this may affect the time frame in which this new group will be able to deliver or provide its deliverables. I also wanted to make another comment on the charter for this group. The SCI has always worked, as Wolf Ulrich mentioned earlier, on the basis of full consensus. That's how the SCI makes its decisions. It's worked very well in the past, and it's made it important that everyone reaches agreement on what the best possible revisions to the operating procedures may be. This is not the case for this group. This group has the option of either full consensus or consensus. I think it would be a good idea to maintain a full consensus level of decision-making when making changes to the operating procedures. Whenever new procedures are put in place there by which the GNSO performs its work, I think it is important that all the stakeholder groups and constituencies are on the same page with what should and should not be in there. Thank you.
Thank you, Amr. I'm going to ask staff to capture that question relative to the charter and see if that's something that we need to tee up either as part of this motion or as a follow-on task once we have made our decision relative to this group versus SCI. It looks like, okay, I guess I'm understanding is that this is that approval of the charter is as part of this motion. I'm trying to find out where that is actually in the resolve clause. I don't know if Marika or if you could point that out. I'm kind of struggling. It's resolve one. Okay, there it is. Yeah. Sorry, I was kind of focused on the options down there in Resolve 2. But yes, so the question is, to Amr's point, is that charter open for amendment to, I guess, restrict it to operating solely on full consensus as opposed to full consensus and consensus, which in my experience has always been a matter of degree. Or if that is an item that we would have to separately take on as an amendment to the charter. Marika, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Marika. Indeed, the charter currently has the two options of full consensus and consensus. And you know, obviously, the council could decide to change that, but I think one thing you may want to consider, indeed, is it still required to have, you know, full consensus? We don't even require that for, you know, PDP recommendations. And I know the reason why it was introduced at that stage was as well, we just came out of a review and a major restructuring. So I think there was a sense that there should be some kind of safeguard in place there. But so I think it's a question for the council to ask. Do changes like this require full consensus, or is consensus a sufficiently high bar to meet?
Well, I think first thanks, Marika, and I think first off that would beg the question of what is specifically the difference between, in a group like this, between consensus and full consensus, or is that simply left up to the discretion of the TBD chairs?
Yeah, and this is Rick, I can answer that. Basically, it follows the working group guidelines. So basically, full consensus is everyone agrees, consensus is most agree, but a small minority disagrees. And again, it follows then the working group guidelines, where indeed it's in the chair's discretion through a certain process to make that assessment. And there are also, of course, opportunities for members of the working group to challenge that designation. So I think it basically follows the same kind of process and approach as being used in PDP working groups.
Okay, thank you. And I think full consensus we used to call unanimous or lack of objection. Okay, thank you, Amr. Amr has copied the relevant part of the charter in the chat here. Well, let's... If you don't mind, Amr, I'd like to. I'm not abandoning your question. I think it is relevant. I think that we just, if we could, please, let's go to Wolf Ulrich here and then see if any other counselors would like to weigh in on this particular question that you've proposed. And I don't know that you've proposed any sort of an amendment to the charter formally. It's just a discussion point at this stage. Is that correct? Or are you formally asking that we consider amending the charter?
Well, James, this is Amr again. I did bring it up as a discussion point, and I only actually read the charter very recently, so apologies for not bringing this up sooner. But I would, yes, like to propose making this change at this time, and if there are objections to this, I'd be happy to listen. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks. Thank you for that clarification. I think the trade-off, I guess, would be that any recommendations that have full consensus coming out of this group would therefore have a stronger sense of adoption by the community and legitimacy. Of course, that also raises the risk that some of the recommendations may not achieve that threshold, and therefore where they might have passed, for example, under just general consensus, they would fail under the full consensus test. So I think that's the trade-off that we're looking at. And I say that without necessarily having any particular motions or recommendations in mind. It just seems like that's kind of the spectrum that we're toying with. Okay, next up is Wolf Ulrich.
Yeah, thanks, James. Hopefully speaking. Well, to that point, that was exactly the only reason why I put these two options here to the table. It is not the question, well, shall we have two bodies working in parallel? And that was the idea was, you know, to put CSCI in a sleeping mode. And just in case, you know, in between, during the implementation phase, if there's something, could be done. But if we can agree, well, that this is not the case, and there would also not be any, let me say, prioritization conflicts on that team, that with regards, well, how to deal with new incoming tasks in parallel to the ongoing implementation work, then I would be fine with that. So this is not a big problem. With regards to the question of AMA, you know, and the consensus question, this is a thing, well, I think it needs some discussion. Maybe we could split it in that way, that, for example, for the implementation work, as usual, we see the working group under the working group, the existing working group guideline working with their consensus finding approach. And after that, after finishing the implementation work, I understand that this group is going to act and to work like the SEI did. So they are looking to the then existing GNSO procedures and so on, and if there is something to do, then they shall deal with that. Then they could work under the charter they did until now. So if we think over that, so that could be also a point. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Will Horick. I put myself in the queue, but I would just give anyone else an opportunity to speak before I weigh in. I just wanted to make sure that I wasn't taking us off on a tangent here. Without going into too much detail, I think I sent a note to the list, I think it very much echoes some of the statements made by Phil, by Heather, and by some of the others, that option one to me seems to be the most efficient and expedient, particularly given that it will be very likely that the new working group and the SCI will have significant membership overlap, and so standing one down and raising another one up makes a lot of sense to me. That's just my personal view. I think to Amr's point regarding consensus, if it makes folks more comfortable with option one, or if it makes option one more readily available to take on the new work that would have otherwise gone to the SCI, then I am also open to the idea of modifying the charter to address the consensus question that Amr has raised to make it match that of the SCI that is going to be dissolved. So I don't necessarily see a problem with that. However, it is possible that some of the things coming out of this group may fail to reach that higher bar of consensus. But if that's the will of the council, then we should consider that. The only other option that I mentioned and would in my email and would just present to the council again is that we should also consider asking this particular group to make a recommendation on whether or not there is a need for an SCI2 or some other body at the conclusion of its work to deal with the ongoing questions that may come up, so that once it's completed its implementation work at some point in the future, that it would stand itself down in favor of some sort of SCI2. So those are just my thoughts. And I don't know if anyone else would like to weigh in on this. I particularly would like to hear from anyone who has any concerns relative to Amr's proposal. I haven't, you know, given it a whole ton of thought, but it seems like, you know, like I was just mentioning, it seems like mirroring that of the SCI, if we're going to absorb that group, makes sense, but there's probably something I'm overlooking. So I don't know if anyone has any strong objections to that, or if anyone has any final thoughts at all. Wolf Ulrich?
Yeah, thanks, James. So, well, combining that, I think it would be a good approach. Well, option one, plus, there is no need, well, to amend the motion in this sense, rather than just to take option one, but to put into the into the minutes an action item which says, well, the working group charter should be discussed in the sense, well, which was discussed right here, to open it up for or to amend the consensus finding approach here. So if that is possible, just to put it as an action item, that would be helpful. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Wolf Ulrich. I think you and I are thinking along the same lines, is that we would have something in the adoption of this motion as an instruction to this group to ensure that all of its recommendations that it expects to be submitted to council for consideration would have reached that full consensus threshold. I think that is something that we can incorporate into this motion if it's adopted. And yes, Heather, you're correct. SCI 2 is looking far down the road, probably at a time when all of us have retired to a beach somewhere, hopefully. But just trying to think of how we would transition that ahead. But you're correct. It's something we can address as it goes on. Marika, you're up next.
Yeah, this is Marika. Maybe a way out of this, because, of course, the charter is currently written as it is, and it still has the two options. So maybe as part of your consideration of this motion, you can just make clear, and we would reflect that in the minute, that you're, it seems that you're going for option one, and as part of the vote or as part of the adoption of the motion, staff could then maybe clarify in the charter that, full consensus, because I think it basically written out that recommendations can either have full consensus or consensus, that we clarify that full consensus applies to any recommendations that suggest changes to the GNSO operating procedures. If that is the direction where you're going, I think that's a relatively simple update we can make in the charter, but we would need to clearly reflect that in as part of this conversation and the minutes that is part of your consideration and vote on this motion.
Thank you, Marika. And I think that's a constructive suggestion, and I note from the chat that Amr also is on board with that approach, as well as Wolf Ulrich. So the speaking queue is clear. If you don't mind, I'd like to start to bring this one in for a landing. I think, if I'm hearing correctly, that we want to go ahead and do exactly as Marika suggested and make that note regarding the consensus level, make sure that is noted in the minutes as part of this motion, and that is communicated as part of the charter and the chartering and convening of this group. And I'm also, if I'm not mistaken, hearing a stronger consensus around option number one, that this new group would essentially take the place of the SCI. The SCI would finish its current slate of work, and then it would be disbanded, and that any new SCI items that would have normally gone to the SCI will instead be referred to this new group. So if there are no objections, or if there are no further comments or discussions on this particular motion, then I'd like to recommend that we instead strike option number two from resolve to two, which looks like has already been done. Hopefully Wolf Ulrich, because he designed the motion that way, sees that as a friendly amendment. And if there are no concerns, I would be happy to second this amended motion. And finally, and friendly, thank you, Wolf Ulrich, for noting that in the chat. And if there are no other concerns, then I would thank everyone for this, and then we can move to a voice vote, unless anyone would prefer a roll call vote. Glenn, if you would please then proceed to a voice vote.
I'll do that. Thank you, James. Anyone who is not in favor of this motion, please state your name. And there's nothing in the chat. Anyone who would like to abstain from this motion, please state your name. Hearing no objections to the motion, nor abstentions, anyway, would you please all say aye if you're in favor of the motion?
Aye.
Thank you, and I will note again that David Cake is absent. He is not on the telephone line nor on the Adobe Connect. Thank you very much, James. The motion passes.
Thank you, Glenn. Thank you, counselors, and thank you, Wolf Ulrich. And if we could ask staff to make those notes in the minutes as well as communicate this to the SCI, as Wolf Ulrich and Amr have noted in the chat, we will recommend that we begin the process to stand up this new group and put out a call for volunteers in the near future. Okay, next up we have, and just looking at the clock here, we've got some time to make up here. Item number six, which is a response to the GAC communique. And first off, an order of apology. This was something that Donna and myself and Heather had volunteered to take on, and because of the travel back to Helsinki and the holiday here in the U.S., I was a little late in getting my draft to the two vice chairs, so I apologize for the delay in circulating a draft response to the list. The response to the communique, I think, has a number of key issues, and hopefully folks have had a chance to review that. But most importantly, I think, in terms of time sensitivity, is that we understand from discussing with staff that the board will be considering the privacy proxy PPSAI recommendations here in a meeting that I believe is scheduled for the next few days. So if it's not possible for us to fully review the response to the GAC communique, or if folks perhaps have not had enough time, then I would ask that if nothing else, if we could at least submit our response to item number two, which is the response specifically to the GAC advice on privacy proxy services, then that would be submitted to the board in a timely manner so that they could consider that as part of their discussions. But otherwise, the response to the GAC communique was developed, as I mentioned, by myself and Heather and Donna, and along with Mary and Marika, who did some fact-checking and helped make sure that we were technically and procedurally correct in our statements. We did align all of our responses with the topics as they appear in the GAC, specifically as it's mentioned as advice. The major themes are new GTLDs, privacy proxy, as I mentioned, the two-letter country and territory names at the second level, three-letter codes as GTLDs for subsequent rounds, and then I think that was it. So that is the motion that we have on the table. I'd like to take any discussion at this point of either the substance of the communique response or any other comments on this document. So the queue is clear. That either means that everybody read it and loved it or didn't have time to read it. And I think it was probably the latter because we submitted it kind of late. Rubens, go ahead.
Rubens, queue for the transcript. James, the only minor issue I have is with the IGO-NGO acronym session, where I noticed that we just mentioned that GNSO couldn't make changes to the approved policy. GNSO Council couldn't make changes to the approved policy. But during our session, we went further than that and said that also the board couldn't make policy themselves, which would be a stronger message. So are we sure that we want to tone down this part of the message? That's my question. Thank you.
Thank you, Rubens. It's a good catch, and I think that it certainly is not the case that we intended to send a dissimilar message on this topic in the response to the GAC advice that that we sent to the board in person in Helsinki. Can you think of any language that could be added to the response of item number 5 that would close this gap and get those two statements aligned? It is a good catch, and I do thank you for it, but I'm not sure exactly how to address it, except to say that it was not the intention to walk back the statements that we made in Helsinki.
I can make some suggestions, but not right now, not on the fly.
Okay, understood. Thank you, Rubens. Heather, go ahead.
Thanks, James. This is Heather Forrest. I just wanted to point out, take the opportunity maybe by way of explanation or owning up to something. There's pretty significant language in here urging the GAC to engage with PDP working groups. These were comments that we all tried to make in our various meetings involving the GAC in Helsinki, and just as a point, James, to note that we made an extra effort in this response to the communique to reinforce that message as many times as we could. Thanks.
Thanks, Heather. That is correct, and that is, I think, a theme that that we do try to hit that note as frequently as possible in these responses, or in most of our engagements with the GAC generally. I think that's something that we are very consistent on message, I think, with that. Volker Greiman, speaking for Volker Greiman.
Yes, thank you, James. I'm very pleased with the result of the comments that we've of the review and of the presentation, especially with regard to the privacy proxy, which is an issue that could very well blow up in our faces if it were handled incorrectly. I think we've found very diplomatic language that still is very strong showing these are the borders. This is the point where the IRG can go. This is something that would be out of scope for the IRT. I think this is a very good way of putting putting down our concerns with the recent GAC recommendations, where while still not throwing the gauntlet into the face of the GAC. So I'm very pleased with it.
Thank you, Volker. Donna.
Thanks, James. Donna Austin. Not speaking directly to what we have in front of us here, but for those interested, I have listened to the conversation between the GAC and the board that was conducted yesterday around GAC advice. I think it really is worth a listen of the council members. There was a discussion that Shireen asked the question about, what can the GAC do when there is this situation where GAC advice is different from GNSO recommendations, because Shireen feels like the board is put between a rock and a hard place. From a GAC perspective, they feel that they're restricted by the current bylaws and current processes. So they only provide advice to the board. They don't have any other way to, any other mechanism to provide advice to the GNSO, for example. Thomas Schneider did say that they're trying to get more involved earlier in the process, but I think there still is a Alice from Kenya spoke from the Kenyan GAC representative spoke to the PPSAI issue and noted that the PSWG was involved in the PDP process. But didn't like the outcome, so that's why they've come back with the advice, which they think isn't too bad because it was based on a discussion between the GNSO and the GAC. So I think it's worth a listen, or maybe once we get the transcript, I would certainly recommend that folks have a read of it. I think there's some interesting things that are starting to boil to the surface that will involve a better relationship or understanding between the council, board and GAC roles. So I think it's worth a listen. Thanks.
Thank you, Donna. I would also recommend folks take a listen to that call. It's a little more than an hour long, and we can certainly circulate the link again or circulate the transcript once it's available. I also noted, I heard the same things, which is that the GAC is saying something along the lines of, well, you know, of course we're sending our recommendations and our advice to the board because that's under the bylaws, that's all we're allowed to do. But I think going back to Heather's point, we can also say, well, you have another option, which is participating in the PDP as well. But I think their point was is that we don't advise the GNSO, we advise the board. Okay, next up is, I put myself in the queue here. I'll drop down to the bottom here and allow Carlos to jump ahead of me. And next up is Phil.
Yeah, excuse me. Phil Corwin for the record. I want to briefly comment from my perspective as co-chair of the working group that's looking at curative rights protections for IGOs. And number one, just commenting on the GAC language here where they say that the IGOs are best placed to comment upon the compatibility of any proposes with a unique status. We've been frustrated in that working group in that the IGOs have largely not participated. More recently in Helsinki, three representatives of three IGOs, WIPO, the World Bank, and the OECD, participated, and they followed up with a joint memo to our working group, but in their individual capacity, and then we held a phone call with them in our not our meeting held today, but last week, and asked whether they could, you know, would be able to make that an official position on behalf of their IGOs, and they indicated that would be very difficult. So while the GAC says this, the reality is that the IGOs are not very willing to engage, and when they do, it's more their representatives give personal opinions rather than official positions of the organizations they work for. I don't know if we need any additional language here to encourage the board to do something, given the 2 years they've been engaged in closed-door discussions with the GAC and some IGOs on this issue. But now that our working group is reaching our final stage, and we began today to discuss what we're going to do in terms of our recommendations and a final report with the aim of having that out for comment before Hyderabad, I don't want to say it's difficult, but it would be better in making final decisions on curative rights protections for IGOs if we know what position the board was going to take on permanent protections for IGO acronyms. We're kind of working somewhat in the dark without knowing if and when the board's going to take a position on that after years of discussion. So I just wanted to bring that input. I don't know if any additional language is required to encourage the board to speak on that, but it would be helpful to our working group to know what, if any, position they're going to take on that issue of permanent protections for IGO acronyms. Thank you.
Thank you, Phil, for that update. And I think that we did note that there may be something coming from the board on that relatively shortly, certainly in advance of the Hyderabad, but I don't want to presume. I just think that we are expecting some sort of a response, if nothing else, a response to the letter that we sent prior to the meeting in Helsinki might help shed a little bit of light as well. Next up in the queue is Susan. Susan, go ahead.
Thanks, James. And this does satisfy my question in AOB. I was not thinking when I made that request that we would be discussing this. But I agree with Donna. I listened to the board GAC session, and several concerns were raised in my mind, one on the PPSAI and the PSWG. You know, I participated pretty consistently on the PPSAI, and there was not law enforcement weigh-in at the level we needed it. So there was law enforcement on the calls a lot or at times, but, you know, very little drafting, very little suggestions of what, you know, they didn't ask for things. And so I'm concerned with the GAC language. Glad they didn't go to formal advice and push, you know, a stalemate. But, you know, one of the members, you know, seemed to be under the impression that the PSWG did participate actively, so the perceptions are a little wrong, in my opinion. And then one of the board members, and I apologize for not remembering who it is, but also made the comment, which was made in Helsinki by one of the board members, of that the board was in a position when they had, you know, GAC advice that was contrary to the GNSO recommendations, that all they could do is sort of bring the two parties together to come to a resolution. And I don't think that is the only thing they can do. So I think we're going to be facing this many times down the road, and I'm concerned about that. The language in this document I'm fine with. So.
Thanks. Susan, and thank you especially for that last bit about the note that while, you know, your concerns regarding the, some of the statements made on the call, that the language and the response is satisfactory. Can I ask that when we are expecting some movement from the board on this PPSAI issue specifically and those recommendations here later this month, that when that is released, that you review that and make sure that it addresses your concerns as well. Otherwise, we may need to amend or weigh in again on this topic if those are not satisfactory. But I think, and just a note also that Susan noted that AOB item 9.3, which is probably going to be a victim of the time anyway, is no longer necessary. I put myself in the queue because to address mainly Ruben's note here that, you know, that potentially we could amend, because I think Ruben so far, and I may have missed something, but to my knowledge, so far Ruben's is the only person that has noted a deficiency in the language of the response itself. And I was going to ask if we could fix that, and I'm probably going to incur the wrath of Marika by suggesting something so glib on the fly here, but that in the response, we would say something along the lines of the GNSO refers the board to the previously adopted recommendations of the PDP addressing this topic, comma, and our statements on this issue in our engagement session in Helsinki. So that would be comma and our statements on this issue during our engagement session in Helsinki. And that's my effort, a little brutal, doing surgery here on the document right here on the table, but that's my attempt to close the gap that was identified by Rubens between this statement and the statements that we made in Helsinki, is that we essentially just piggyback onto that conversation, which I believe the transcript has already been made public. So I would put that out there and see if Rubens at that addresses your subject, and if there's anyone on staff that can put that in the language of the document so that folks could read it and see it, that would be fantastic. Okay, it looks like Marika's going to take care of that. Next up is Carlos.
Yes, this is Carlos. Thank you, James. I really want just a clarification. We had a discussion on this review of the communique this week. Sorry for wearing a different hat in the NCSG policy call. And I was amazed because, well, it was not a very, not many people were there, but there was not a great understanding of the purpose of this instrument, the review of the communique. And when I hear the discussion we just had, I have to ask, who are we addressing this review to? Is it for everybody, for the GAC and the board, or is it only for the board, which in my view was the initial intent about a year ago? Because when I look at the comments, some seem to be geared towards the community itself or towards the GAC and the other ones to the board. And I don't know. I'm not clear if we're sitting the three parts on the same table, the GAC, the board, and the GNSO, or if we're talking to the board only. I hope I made myself clear, but I would really like to have more time and read it and comment and hear the transcript of the call.
Thank you, Carlos. And I would just in answer the question, I believe we are attempting to focus our response to the board. I think it's understood that this will be a public document and that the GAC as well as the broader ICANN community will review this response to the communique, but I think specifically and in particular where we're asking something in particular or want to communicate our interpretation of the policy implications of the GAC communique, then those statements are made to the board. But with the, you know, with an eye to the fact that this will be public. And I know that sounds a little squishy and we're trying to have it both ways, but I think you are correct to point out that the primary audience is the board. Okay. No one else in the queue, but a very active chat window. I note that we have now uploaded the amended language that serves to close the gap that was identified by Rubens. I would also note that Carlos has at least informally indicated that perhaps he would like a little bit more time to review this document. That is certainly something that the council could choose to do, which would effectively defer our response to the Helsinki communique to the early September meeting. And I think, you know, just editorializing here just a little bit, probably none of the topics on here will have suffered greatly from the absence of our response, except for perhaps privacy proxy item number two. So it is certainly one of the paths or the options that we could take, but I would encourage folks that if we have an option to, or if we have a path where we can send all or at least that section of this document by the board's next meeting, which is coming in about a week from tomorrow, that we should endeavor to do so. Any thoughts on that? Donna?
Thanks, James. Donna Austin. I really have a preference for being timely in the delivery of this document. If this doesn't go until September, we've kind of lost a window or an opportunity. So I guess I have a strong preference to get it out sooner rather than later. Thanks.
Thanks, Donna. Marilia.
Thank you, James. This is Marilia speaking. Actually, just a quick comment on how to proceed after we send a response. I think that the question that Carlos asked about who are we speaking to is a very pertinent one. If we start to speak with the GAC, maybe it's interesting that we have some follow-up, and then maybe the liaison of the GNSO to the GAC has a role to play here. I know that in many parts we invite the GAC to participate in PDPs. I think that this is the way to go. But maybe we should also make an effort to understand what are the difficulties and if there's anything that we can do to make the participation of GAC members something more easy in the ongoing PDPs. So maybe if we can activate the liaison in this dialogue with the GAC after we send this response to the communique, maybe this would be a good idea to bring them in. Thanks.
Thank you, Marilia. Good suggestions, and I would ask that staff capture that for follow-up with Mason, regardless of how we go through this particular issue. We can get that communicated back to the GAC, as well as not just the GAC, but also the GAC GNSO consultation group to continue to work on this particular challenge of getting the GAC involved as early as possible. I'm noting here that that there's some active questions in the chat here. For example, Paul is asking if we're voting on this today or are there just too many open questions. Donna is noting that we could possibly add this to our August 9th email ballot. Carlos has asked on two occasions if we can have just a little bit more time to review this. He said till Monday. Okay, let's change gears here. What if we were to defer this particular motion and the document to the August 9th meeting, which means essentially that we would have to have this language finalized fairly quickly by, I believe, the 26th. So we would have essentially a little less than a week to finalize this particular document to address some of the concerns and to give folks another opportunity to review it. And again, I take full responsibility for the delay in getting this out with the short window we had coming back from Helsinki and then the holiday that pretty much took all the Americans off the board. So my fault there. If there are no objections, then I can simply withdraw this motion and resubmit it. And I may be out of the office, so I may ask for some assistance from one of the vice chairs to resubmit this motion for review in advance of our August 9th email ballot. And then that would mean, just so we're clear, that would mean there would be two items up for a vote on the August 9th ballot. That would mean that the this communique document and the slate of approval of the slate of members and liaisons to the CSC. And it is also possible that between now and then that the ground may have shifted under us a little bit and that the board may have actually already adopted, for example, privacy proxy recommendations or adopted them with some additional caveats or instructions to the GNSO. That is part of the risk that we're assuming here, but I think it is part and parcel of just the calendar and the way it's shaking out. So Amr's asking why not just defer it to avoid the needing to resubmit? Yes, that's fine. We'll make that easier. We'll just defer it. And then I'm just seeing Paul here is noting that there was no way to control the board spoke with the GAC, which is a missing piece. Yes, correct, Paul. And that also I think we were a little constrained by the quick time between the short amount of time between our meeting today and the board's meeting on the 29th. So that's also kind of boxed us in a little bit here. So, but thanks everyone for your thoughts, good thoughts on this. And hopefully if we can, to Carlos's point, if we can just take a couple of more days to look at this, get it hashed out on the list, make sure that everybody is feeling warm and fuzzy about this particular response, and then we can get that over to the board as quickly as possible. And staff is going to assist us in getting the latest version circulated around. So thanks everyone for your thoughts on that. Then moving on to item number 7, and that was we've got 10 minutes left. So if I could ask for folks to, since we're taking next month off mostly, if we could just ask for folks, everyone's indulgence. For the next couple of agenda items, we'll tear through them as quickly as we can in order to close out our workload here. We are done with the motions. We now have item number 7, a discussion on modifications to the procedure to address who is conflicts with national law. There is a schedule. Let's overview the proposed schedule. Review the council discussion. We had a discussion in Helsinki. I know there were some spirited discussions about the process itself and whether or not it addressed some of the challenges that we, particularly contracted parties, are encountering when their obligations under their contracts with ICANN with respect to WHOIS start to run in conflict with local law. I think that we had a lot of comments and discussion about the process itself and whether it solved those issues. I think the answer was no, it doesn't completely solve those issues. But I think if we could potentially and perhaps naively, if we could focus our discussion at the council on the triggering mechanism is what is being proposed, if we can focus on that specifically, rather than trying to boil the ocean of all the privacy issues that we continue to encounter with WHOIS and some jurisdictions. That would be, I think, a good use of our time. I'd like to cut the time on this to just 8 to 10 minutes, because I don't know that we have any immediate actions on this. But I think Marika will probably point out that at some point we will need to examine the changes to the triggering criteria that are under discussion now, and whether or not that would be subject to a motion for a future council meeting for us to consider. So with that, does anyone have any thoughts or contributions on this particular agenda item or would like to add to this particular discussion? I didn't see who came first, so I'll defer to staff. Marika first, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Marika. Just to know with regards to the timing, that basically until the moment that the council confirms, you know, whether or not this is, you know, conform or the proposed modifications are in line with the intent of the original policy recommendations, you know, no changes will be made by staff to the procedure. So that is basically the timing aspect.
Thank you, Marika. So we control the clock on this one. We're not responding to something externally. Good clarification. I have Donna and Stephanie. Donna?
Thanks, James. Donna Alston. So just a question for Marika. If we approve this, does that mean there's not another opportunity to have a discussion around possible triggers? You know, well, just to put it in context, from a registry perspective, we don't think the additional trigger is really viable or workable, but perhaps it is in some unusual circumstances. So if we don't approve it, then that trigger isn't available to anybody. But I wonder what's the process if we want to start another process to look at other possibilities. So it's more a procedural question, I think. Thanks.
Thanks, Donna. Marika?
Yeah, this is Marika. I don't think anything prevents the GNSO from confirming that the proposed modifications are in line with the intent of the policy recommendations, and at the same time requesting additional work is undertaken to review whether there are also other potential modifications that would also not be out of sync with the original policy recommendations. And in that regard, it may be helpful as well if the council would at the same time think about what kind of process it would work. You know, in this case, it wasn't, I think, what we call an implementation advisory group that was formed, which was, I think, a kind of a new concept that was used here. You know, maybe not the best approach, maybe there are other ways. So in that sense, if that is the approach the council would like to pursue, it may be worth as well thinking through what kind of mechanism do you think would work to consider potential other triggers. And as such, I don't think there's a conflict necessarily between the two approaches if that is what you want to pursue.
Thanks, Marika. Next up is Stephanie.
Thanks, Stephanie Perrin, for the record. I see in the chat, yes, it is Groundhog Day. I'll try to keep this brief. You know, I'm probably good for hours on the lunacy of that group. Maybe picking up on what Marika just said, is there some other way we could set up a PDT to look at this? I'm not optimistic we're going to get a new WHOIS conflicts of law policy coming out anytime soon. The original one was not generated through a PDP. It's my understanding it was a board-directed thing coming out of the one of the first task forces. Many of you know this painfully well. I don't. I wasn't here for that. But it's an odd duck, and to agree that this is okay, cast it in stone for the procedure. Yeah, but the policy didn't come out of a PDP, Marika. That's my point. That policy doesn't make a whole lot of sense. So is there any way we can simultaneously start looking at this and try to get it to work? Because what we came up with the new trigger, in my view, is not going to work and risks precipitating complaints, fines, and all kinds of repercussions under the directive, the new regulation in Europe, that are going to hurt the registrars. I can't understand why they rolled over on this in the implementation committee, except for the fact that they've thought about this for so many years that it's just eye-glazing over time. Thanks.
Thanks, Stephanie. And just a note that we do have an existing PDP that perhaps another option would be that we could refer this work to an existing PDP and the RDS work that is ongoing. But I think to your point was that, you know, looking for something a little bit more expeditious than the RDS, which is, I think, has a much longer time horizon. But that is one, perhaps not a viable option, but it is an option. Paul, you're up next.
Thanks, Paul McCready, for the record. I guess I'd like to understand what we're really talking about. Are we talking about reopening things that were already discussed at length and a consensus could not be reached on them, and so we're suggesting a second bite of the apple? Or are we talking about new and fresh ideas? It seems to me that we should be fairly conservative about deciding that we don't like the outcomes of a consensus process and then, you know, remanding it down to say, you know, try again because we don't like it. So I guess I'm just in the coming weeks, I guess this topic will continue because I don't think we're going to settle it in the next 45 seconds. But I'd like some clarity about what's really being proposed, because it's not clear to me at all that we're proposing that we talk about fresh ideas. It seems like we are sending back the same old ideas that were rejected back down. And, you know, there is, as the chat says, a Groundhog Day feeling about that. So thanks.
Thanks, Paul. And just in the interest of time, I'll probably do a very poor job of noting that, and I am failing in trying to maintain the distinction between the policy itself and the triggering or the criteria to invoke the policy. And I think that's what's being discussed here, is that we have this policy that nobody likes, and then we have these triggers to invoke the policy that nobody likes as well. And we're talking about modifying the triggers to invoke the policy. And as far as I know, this is not something that, you know, has been, you know, tabled and somebody didn't get, you know, get this. And so they're taking another swing at it. I think even the folks who want to see improvements in the policy acknowledge that this doesn't really fix anything. So I'm probably not doing it justice there, but it's along the lines of there's a policy that exists and there's a recipe to trigger it, and then we're talking about adding a new trigger to that policy. But I think that as we're hearing on this call, there's quite a bit of doubt that that does any good towards addressing the concerns that people have with the policy itself. If that makes any sense. And I probably just made it much worse, actually. So I put myself in the queue here because I just I wanted to note that I'll go ahead and lower my hand. I think I said the piece that I wanted a piece, which was which was just trying to separate the substance of the policy from the process that's used to trigger and evaluate the policy. And I think that distinction is somewhat lost when we get into these conversations, not just because of the controversial nature of the who is policy, but just that this is a tricky subject and the landscape is changing, as Stephanie noted, as we speak. Stephanie, is that a new hand or an old hand? Must have been an old hand. Thank you. And Volker, you're up next.
Thank you, James. Volker Klamath speaks for the transcript. I made most of my points during the last meeting that we had, in Helsinki. I don't know what wish to rehash it all. I still think that this is a process that was flawed from the outset by the merit of who was invited to join this. In my belief, this should have been a discussion between the contract parties and ICANN, because it's about the contract. It's about what is possible under currently under the law of the country where registration registries are situated, and where there is a conflict with that law, how to deal with that as a process. There is a process in the different agreements, how to deal with that, what would trigger that. That is a different question. However, I feel very, very, with the outcome, I'm very, very unhappy with the outcome, and I'd rather send this back entirely and start over than try to fix a little tiny bit of something that's, in my view, fundamentally broken. Thank you.
Thanks, Volker, and I think that it's well said, and I think that, you know, before we charge off and start looking at this in the lens of potentially creating a new PVP or creating a new RDS, unfortunately, we're being punished a little bit for having some foresight. I mean, we see the challenges, we see the conflicts, and we are, ICANN is nothing if not comprised of very bright people who want to fix something before it becomes a problem, before their industry folks are put into this paradox where they have to acknowledge that they're breaking the law in order to fulfill their contracts. And we're trying to head that off. We're not doing a very good job of it, and I think it's not something we're going to solve in this particular call, but it is something that, as we noted here, that we have some work to do in terms of a council discussion. So let's tee this up for a broader discussion on the list. I'm looking specifically for constructive ways.
Your call cannot be completed as dialed. Please check the number and dial again.
You know, constructive ways that we can move forward. Perhaps one of the things I'm noting from staff that this particular group that made this recommendation for a new trigger did not contain any contracted parties at all. So I don't know if that means that their views were not taken on board, or if the contracted parties just kind of voted with their feet in thinking that this was just not going to address any of the issues. I'm not sure. Maybe it's a question of just, you know, if we can table those recommendations and have a further discussion between now and our next call. But to Marika's point, there is no ticking clock here. It is just, we're just waiting for that first first conflict to actually manifest itself. Next, if we could ask very quickly in your indulgence for the next few minutes to move to agenda item number 8. I took a rough stab at a skeletal schedule for ICANN 57 in Hyderabad. And the objective was, and if you recall, there were a fairly extensive comments on this in Helsinki, and I tried to capture all of those and reflect them in this document. And Marika, thank you again for your help as well. I'm sorry, Phil, go ahead. I didn't see your hand there, Phil.
James, I have a comment about something to do with Hyderabad, but go ahead. It can wait until after you finish your exposition on this.
Thanks, Phil, and I'll try to just tear through it fairly quickly. The objective of this particular bare-bones schedule was to accomplish a few things and check a few boxes that were raised in Helsinki. First off, we didn't have any, high level of support for something like a day 0 or a day 8. We tried to work within the constraints of the 7-day schedule as it was presented. We did discuss lesson learned from Helsinki that we could perhaps have an expedited GNSO Council day. So rather than having 2 full days of GNSO Council PDP updates and engagements with other groups like the board, the GAC, and other SOs and ACs, that we would tackle that in one day. And so you see that here on day 2, Friday, November 4th, will be a long day, but it will replace what would otherwise be 2 days. So hopefully that is a more acceptable alternative. We discussed whether or not any of the PDPs would have a face-to-face meeting on day 1. That survey of has been sent to the different leaderships of the ongoing PDPs. But one of the ideas I think that we're kind of starting to grow some favoritism towards is this idea of having 2 PDPs meet on day 1, an early or a morning session and an afternoon session. And that's reflective of the fact that there's a high degree of overlap in some of these PDPs, and that one of the other takeaways from Helsinki is that having a four-hour meeting in some ways is a little bit more productive than having an eight-hour meeting, because there are fewer breaks and folks are a little bit more focused, and the ability to change topics at the second part of the day is sometimes helpful for keeping everyone on task. Next up, we would have the standard, what we would call constituency day, on or would normally fall on a Tuesday, is happening on day four, Sunday. We would have our face-to-face meeting on day five, which is Monday, the GNSO Council meeting, and then immediately moving to our wrap-up, which I think also from Helsinki, it was nice to have the wrap-up immediately following the council meeting when everything was fresh in our minds. Day eight would be, you know, the typical board meeting, public forum, and then we would have our council development session dinner on day six. That is optional, but that is something that we would offer both to current, outgoing, and incoming GNSO counselors. And then day seven, the morning of day seven, would be the GNSO council development session, which would be open to current, outgoing and incoming counselors. So that's kind of how we shook this out so far. I would encourage folks to please take a look at this. Give us your thoughts. We need to start to plan for this in earnest and start filling in some of these blanks. I'd note that there is potentially another group, I believe the CCWG is talking about a day zero meeting potentially, so that you know, doesn't create conflicts, but it does extend this already long trip to India for some of us even a little bit longer. But this is our first stab at meeting format C, and want to make sure that everyone has an opportunity to weigh in with their thoughts. So with that, very quickly, we'll go to Marika and then Phil. Marika?
Yeah, this is Marika. Just a note on the PDP face-to-face working group meetings. We did already send out a poll to both the RDS and the new GTLD PDP working groups, and feedback from those groups to date is 20 yes, if need be, responses from the RDS PDP, or the new GTLD PDP, and two remote. And the RDS PDP, we have 32 yeses, if need be, and 12 remote. I believe on the RPMs one, a poll is still due to go out, but I think informally there's some feedback that a face-to-face may not be needed. However, I think we did get feedback from at least from the RDS PDP that I'm aware that, you know, people do need a confirmation as soon as possible on whether this is going to happen or not, as you know, everyone's in the process of planning their travel. And also some feedback from people that completed the poll suggested that indeed a half day might be ideal, as you know, a full day can be you know, very strenuous and less effective than maybe having a you know, four-hour block to focus on conversations. And also to know that I do believe I think that the confirmation for funded travelers is, I think, early August. So, again, a confirmation on the PDP working group meetings is probably time sensitive in that regard, as it you know, does require people to be aware of whether or not they have this meeting at the start of the meeting or not.
Thank you. Yeah, I note that folks are getting ready to drop off. So we'll go with Phil next. Phil?
Yeah, two quick comments. In regard to the potential face-to-face meetings on day one, I'm reporting as a co-chair of the RPM Review Working Group. We surveyed participants in our call last week to get an indication of how many folks were planning to go to Hyderabad. And frankly, It's not a lot because of the you know, people hadn't budgeted for it, and because of the travel time from a lot of places, as well as the fact that it's not a particularly, I don't want to say, it doesn't have a lot to attract people, you know, looking for things besides the ICANN meeting. We won't have a majority of the working group there, just a minority. And second, the group felt that a facilitated face-to-face meeting would make more sense in Copenhagen or Johannesburg. In Copenhagen, we'll be completing our work on the trademark clearinghouse and moving into URS. In Johannesburg, we'll be at the stage of beginning our initial report, putting our initial report together. So based on both low attendance and the stage of our work plan we're in, there's not a high degree of interest in having a face-to-face for the RPM review in Hyderabad. The other thing I wanted to bring up as a result, we discussed this on the BC call today, at least for U.S. residents, there's a necessity to get a visa for India. There's different types of visas. Some of them may require an invitation letter from ICANN or the Indian government. So we'd like the council to staff to get ICANN travel to clarify what type of visa is needed and provide whatever assistance is required from ICANN to get that as soon as possible, because getting that visa requires turning in your passport for some period of time before you get it back from the Indian embassy. So those are my two comments. Thank you.
Thanks, Phil. And just quickly, if we have three active PDPs and one of them is essentially taking its marker off the table for day one, then that makes planning very easy. We would just simply decide which of the two remaining would go in the morning and which would go in the evening. So thanks for that update. Secondly, is that a good point on the visa. We will ask staff to take that back to Nick Tommaso's group and get some clarification on that. I do remember that sending my passport out for ICANN New Delhi a few years back. I think that they have since moved to an electronic visa that you can do completely online, but it would be good to get some clarity on that, not just for the Americans, but also for the Canadians and for the other Europeans and Latin Americans and all the other folks on council. So let's just put a note down there for staff to take a look at that. That is something that we should get a hold of as well. Just a note here, again, I think we've got still some open questions and topics for this schedule, but I think, you know, if we can get at least an indication from the council that this is starting to take shape in a manner that meets their expectations, that there's no red flags, but certainly there's still a number of blanks that need to be filled in. Let's continue to iterate on this schedule as we go forward, but I think we have a rough skeleton here that we can start to hang some flesh and bones on. Okay, just noting the time, and I thank you again for your patience and indulgence. We'll move then to item number 9, which is AOB. The first up is AOB item number 9.1, which I believe was added by Heather. Heather, if you don't mind, you can take 9.1.
James, thanks. Heather Forrest, in light of the time, I'm going to be very, very quick, and I'm also about to get on a noisy bus. Look, we have an issue in the RPM PDP working group. You might recall from the May meeting of council that I noted to council's attention that a member of the working group had been quite disruptive, and there was formal communication with that member asking the member to desist with disruptive communication. That was ignored, and the member was subsequently removed from the working group's list. That member continues to individually cause issues for certain members of ICANN staff and the leadership of the PDP working group. And I'd like us to consider as a council what we do to support our PDP chairs and to support ICANN staff who receive personal messages from hostile individuals. Thanks, James.
Thanks, Heather. I do remember that incident, and it is unfortunate that it continues. I understand that, you know, we're in a little bit of a time constraint here. So what I would ask is I would ask Marika and her team to consult with ICANN Legal on specifically what actions are available to us as a council and to ICANN staff when we believe we have an individual who has essentially worn out their welcome, either on a particular working group or has now escalated, it sounds like, to individual and unsolicited and unwanted and unwelcome communication with with other folks, and if there's something that we can explore to take care of that. This is unfortunate, but I think we certainly do not want to set the precedent that this sort of thing is tolerated or acceptable. So, and Phil is noting that as a co-chair, he's also a target of these communications, and I would just ask that what we will take away is that is an action item to consult the genus of leadership. Myself, Heather, and Donna, as well as the co-chairs of the working group and ICANN staff and legal, will take this as an action item. It's something I think that we all take very seriously in our responsibilities. Thank you for that, Heather. And it is, again, unfortunate. Item number 9.2 is an update on the status of the process of the drafting team to identify new and additional rights and responsibilities for GNSO under the revised bylaws. I know we approved this motion in Helsinki. I don't know where we stand in terms of convening that group. I think that is also a casualty of the compressed schedule. I would ask that staff please provide an update on the timeline, prepare a timeline, and submit that to the list for council review. Donna, yes, it says the deadline for submission is for tomorrow. I think that's correct. I know that we have, I believe that there is one registrar and one registry rep have already been identified, but I think that there will be others as well. So, yes, so if you can, and I think if other stakeholder groups and constituencies could at least weigh in to the list with their plans, the deadline is tomorrow. Make sure that if you haven't already have a good understanding of who your group has selected, that you light a fire because the time is running short. Status of PPSAI was taken off by Susan, that is the end of our agenda. So I would note that we're 20 minutes over. I do thank you all for your patience. Our next call is scheduled for September, but in the interim, it looks like we have a number of items coming through the mailing list, including at least one, if not two, motions for a mail vote that will be posted later in July and open for a mail email ballot August 4th through August 6th. So please be on the lookout for that. Okay. If there are no other objections, then I would like to close the call. I know a number of you had to drop off early, and I apologize for that. But I think we got a lot done considering the fact that we're going to take the next month off. So if there are no objections, we'll close the call and say thank you to everyone for your work, and enjoy your summer and your holidays. And we will catch up again on the list and in early September. Thank you.
Thanks, everyone. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Have a good one.
Thank you, James.
Thank you.